Good morning, and welcome to Christ Church Uniting on the second Sunday of Advent. My name is Diane Brookins, and I will serve as your worship leader this morning. Our guest preacher this morning is Malia Galindo. I bet you get that a lot. Malia was born and raised in Kailua and is a recent graduate of Claremont School of Theology, having gotten her master's in divinity this past May. She is currently on track to be ordained within the Disciples of Christ and is also seeking standing with the United Church of Christ. She recently moved back with her family and is working as an art teacher with Kids Art Windward. Malia has a deep passion for LGBTQ+ justice and creating intersectional spaces for unity and diversity. Welcome, Malia. We look forward to hearing your message. Like the childhood game of musical chairs, we are convinced that there are not enough places at the table. And so we shrink the guest list just in case there is not enough, and we scramble to occupy the chairs first. And yet, our sacred texts invite us to imagine and make real the gathering of all people to the table, robed in the garments of a peace that comes with justice. This is what really matters. This is the fruit of what is right and good. Today we offer the light of peace to illumine the door of welcome. That there's the light of hope. Here's the light of peace. May this light shine in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church. May peace awaken us to possibilities and lead us to greater hospitality. There is room in this inn, a house for the holy. As we begin our worship with song, I invite you to pass a wave of peace to the people around you and the people worshiping at home. As a reminder, in the interest of everyone's safety and well-being, should congregation members wish to sing along with the hymns or the doxology, we ask that you sing along quietly or to yourself while fully masked and socially distanced, 6 feet away from non-family members. Mahalo.
Thank you.
for our keiki in the house and for those joining us from home. Let's check in with Auntie Beth and see what she has for us today.
Aloha, friends. Today is the second week of the season we call Advent. During this time, we prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Jesus. One way to get ready is to make room in our lives for the most important thing. You might remember last week, this was the box that was all wrapped up with a special gift, and we discovered hope inside. Some might say it was empty, but we saw possibilities. So today, we're gonna make this box into a special table. This isn't just any table. This is the table of peace. The table of peace allows everyone, not just the inside group or the kids group, but everyone around the table is welcome. We might have some of our very special foods. Maybe you can think about what you like to eat at this time of year to share with family and friends. Maybe we even think about food that we can share with strangers through the food bank or a neighbor that's in need. We want to make sure that this table of peace is open and welcoming to all. And that's what the second Sunday in Advent reminds us, that we can only have peace on the outside if everyone has access to the table, and then we can have peace on the inside, knowing that no one is left out. This is the table of peace. Let us pray. Dear loving and creative God, help us make room for peace. Help us to prepare for Jesus. Help us make room for peace. Amen.
This morning, we have two scripture readings. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. From Baruch chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name righteous, peace, godly, glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. And from Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning. I have to say that the welcome that I got this morning when I first arrived here was so warm and wonderful, and it's been so long since I've been able to like really be a part of in-person church community. So I'm so extremely grateful to be here with you all this morning, including those of you online. And I also remembered that when I wrote this little bio that you heard earlier, I wrote that I was on track to be ordained, which is still very true. But I realized that I technically have been approved for ordination. So it's a little correction there and also a yay! And also, to add a little bit to that, a lot of you might know my dad as well. My parents have come here every once in a while to be a part of this community. My dad is Darren Galindo, and some of you recognize that name very easily. So it's kind of interesting being in the spaces that my dad used to be in, ministering. That's just kind of a fun thing. And also my mom is Presbyterian, so it's kind of like all these weird worlds coming together. But in the end, I just want to say thank you, and it is, as always, a complete honor to be here with all of you this morning. Please join me in prayer. God be in our minds and in our thinking. God be in our eyes and in our seeing. God be in our mouths and in our speaking. God be in our hearts and in our doing. Amen. So, the theme for this morning is making room for the holy or preparing the inn. And I love this theme. And I think now, especially, is a great time to be looking at scripture with this theme, because there are so many ways that we have had to make room for new things in our lives, especially these past 2 years. And for many of us, that change has been a necessity, but also become a chance to change things that we already said we were going to change, or things that we said we were going to change and then like never really got to. We were like, oh, it's on my list, don't worry about it. I had to do a lot of changing, especially when the pandemic really started to affect our lives. One of the first really signal for me that things were going to change was a large event that I was going to attend was suddenly canceled. And that was really shocking to me in a lot of ways, because this event actually was to go see the Reverend William Barber speak at my alma mater at Chapman University. And he was advised to cancel the event because of his health concerns and to protect him. And that was really shocking at that point in time, which really I think it shouldn't have been, but that was the eye-opener for me. And the second thing, which I'm sure a lot of us have similar stories, is suddenly all of my classes went online. I was still in seminary and I had some online classes, but most of them were still in person, and then suddenly all of them were in person. Suddenly all of them were online. And that was very strange for all of us, because I had a lot of teachers that didn't really know how to make this class online. So there was a lot of change there too. And I was also in the middle of an internship, and this internship was at a fairly large church in the area. And suddenly that internship went almost fully online as well. And this was a congregation of easily 300 people. And I have a picture in my phone still of the first Sunday we went fully online, and it was just this giant sanctuary completely empty on a Sunday morning. And that was the moment where I was like, ooh, okay. I have to think about things a little bit more now. I was also teaching a confirmation class that suddenly had to go on Zoom. So many things. I'm sure all of you have your own stories about this as well. And so while I was reminiscing about these times, I was thinking about how much this has more deeply changed our lives, and I wanted to look at some research about it. So I found a Pew Research study on Americans and the effect that COVID has had on their lives. And in this research, most people responded with negative comments, which is not surprising in many ways. But many of those people mentioned something positive as well. Of the people that mentioned something negative, they also mentioned something positive, which is kind of interesting. And I'm bringing this up not to lessen the severity of COVID or the pain that of the lives that have been lost due to COVID, but to reflect on the past almost 2 years that this has been going on and how it's changed us. So in this study, 41% of people mentioned strain on relationships, either with loss of contact or the now much more crowded living situations that they found themselves in. But 33% mentioned having more quality time with their spouses and their immediate family. So a kind of one of those like negative, but also a positive. Let's see. Many people had their routines severely disrupted, but were also able to begin new hobbies. I think one of the things I took up, I started doing some cross-stitching, which is really interesting, yeah. And then I also got on TikTok, which I have yet to decide if that was a good or bad thing. To be determined at a later time. And then there's others that have barely been able to make enough to get by and pay bills and feeding their families. And other people have been saving money because they've been going out so much less. Oh, and then there's the teachers and the service workers and those people that have really been on the front lines of everything going on. And I'm not sure how many of you are teachers, but my mother is a teacher, and she really has taken the brunt of what has happened, especially when working with so many children who's come from so many different backgrounds and each have their own story, of course. And then my partner works in the restaurant industry, and the people that were going to restaurants kind of in the middle of the pandemic are really not the people you ever want to be around in a pandemic. So just keep that in mind. But it was the teachers and the service workers that really have been pushed to their limits. And I've seen that front and center, and my heart goes out to all of you who may have also had to deal with that as well. And then, of course, finally, this study found that Americans have had a decrease in the quality of their mental and physical health the longer the pandemic has gone on. And I'm sure that we all can relate to that. And this is not only the loss from loved ones and also dealing with health problems because of COVID, but also just stress and depression. Now, I know this is a lot of information, but I offer it in hopes that you will see that you're not alone in these complex feelings of being in a pandemic. And as we approach the Advent season and the beginning of another year, still dealing with the effects of the pandemic, there are a lot of things to consider. The holidays this year will be different again from last year and the year before. And the uncertainty of the future still looms over our heads. So, our Baruch text also speaks about a time of uncertainty. The section that we read today is a piece of a poem where Jerusalem is personified as a mother of the Jews. And there aren't too many parts of scripture where this happens, but when it does, Jerusalem is always portrayed as a mother and co-parent of the Jews with God. And our scripture is a part of a larger poem in which Jerusalem is mourning the Jews and their exile from her, because this poem takes place during the Babylonian exile, and where the Jews were forced from their homes. And there's a lot happening around this scripture. But what I want to focus on today is the way that Jerusalem reaches towards the Jews in a motherly way without blame towards her children or to God. And even in her mourning, turns to joy in knowing that God is a God of transformation. And that's the part of the scripture that we kind of see today, is that joy and that thanksgiving. So Jerusalem, in her motherly way, pleads with her children, the Jews, to respect God and to respect God's ways, and also pleads with God to have compassion with human mistakes and failures. And the poem ends with the promise of righteous peace and faith not only in God, not only that God will lift them up once again, but faith in the Jews and their resilience. The scripture speaks very strongly to God's justice and mercy in the world. God isn't a God of punishment and reward, but a God of accountability and transformation and justice. God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. Over and over again, God is with us. The Jews in this story, although sent away, were not given up on. They were offered a chance to transform and to create something new and to reflect on where they've been and where they go from here. And in the Philippians text, we see a similar energy from Paul, who writes this letter from a jail cell in Rome, which I feel like all of Paul's letters are written from a jail cell in Rome. That's something to think about later. But in the part of Paul's letter that we're reading today is a prayer of thanksgiving to the church of Philippi and their good works and faith in God and their continuing work in Jesus, which was a common piece of many of Paul's letters, is having a section of thanksgiving. Paul finds himself in a situation and a place where he could be killed or die and leave behind the churches that he has been in relationship with. His life work helping form a church could very potentially fall apart with his death. However, Paul understands that it's not his relationship to the church that is most important, but the church's relationship to God. Paul understood that God was a God of transformation and found peace in knowing that God would care for the church of Philippi. And in a way, it was Paul's joy and peace that was also a direct protest against what the Romans were doing to him, throwing him in jail for his work. Paul was saying that even in the face of possible death, his peace could not be shaken. As we draw closer to Christmas and make our way through Advent, where are we finding peace? And not just moments of peace, but righteous peace. Peace that still stands when things around us are changing. This time of year, it can be difficult to find that peace, especially if we have other things going on, or maybe this just is a difficult time for us in general. But that might mean that we need to find new space to make our peace more accessible. There are opportunities for creating space for peace anywhere. You don't have to do it alone either. We are an imperfect community of people all searching for closeness to God and the righteous peace that comes with that. Sometimes finding righteous peace means creating a space out of something that already exists. So that could be a sacred space. It could be somewhere in your home. Maybe you have a favorite chair that you go to relax in, or maybe you have a space in your backyard that you enjoy to sit in. Maybe it's your bed. Maybe the only peace you really find is when you're unconscious, and that's okay too. And if it's not a physical place, maybe it's a memory of someone who in your eyes represented righteous peace. Maybe your peace can be found in yourself. Maybe it's you from another time. Maybe it's a memory of a friend. Maybe it's an experience that you shared with others. All of these things, all of these places and things can be spaces where the divine are welcome and free to be fully present and move us. So I wonder what your space looks like. I wonder what your righteous peace feels like. I pray that we are able to reflect on our lives and find peace and find space for righteous peace, whether we find that space within ourselves or in others or in sacred spaces or anywhere else that we may happen upon it. May God be with us through it all. Amen.
Thank you, Malia, for your message. We enter now into a time of prayer with the reminder to make of our hearts a stable. This moment, we open the doors of our hearts to honesty before God about what we've done and left undone that created less hope in a hurting world. Let us breathe out this regret and breathe in the life-giving, forgiving Spirit of God, and out again with the peace of Christ. And we open the doors of our lives to the call of the Spirit inviting us to become more than we can ask or imagine. Let us breathe out our fear and breathe in the courage of the Spirit of God, and out again with the peace of Christ. In this moment, we open the doors of this church, filling it with the compassion of Christ for all those who are struggling. We remember and pray for the Nichols family in the sudden loss of beloved daughter, niece, mother Kaylee this past week. We pray for those who are suffering economic hardship and insecurity in basic needs. May abundance be shared. For those who are suffering mentally, finding it difficult to cope, may paths open and hope return. For those who are suffering illness or injury, may healing abound. For those who are suffering loneliness and isolation, may companionship and solace arrive. For those who are suffering discrimination, fear, and violence, may they know respect, respite, and safety. May the advent of compassion be born in us, reside within us, move outward from us to meet the needs of the world, making a house for the holy that is each and every child of God. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
When we come to this table, we remember that Jesus sat at the table with his disciples the night he would be arrested and betrayed. Knowing what lay ahead of him, Jesus gave the gift of this sacrament to his closest friends and allies as a way for them to remember him. And we remember that after supper, Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. In it, you may pour your hopes and fears, your dreams, your need for grace. When you drink of this cup, remember me." If you are joining us from home, perhaps you have a morsel and a beverage handy. Here in the sanctuary, we've got these single-serve cups with a wafer and a little bit of grape juice. Whatever elements you have available to you, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us join together in this feast. So as we focus on the theme of housing the holy this Advent season, each week we will be highlighting a different community agency doing the important work of helping our neighbors who struggle with housing insecurity. Today we feature Family Promise of Hawaii. As many of you know, our church was one of the first partner congregations to help launch Family Promise in 2006 with the mission to mobilize the community to help low-income families achieve and sustain their independence. Prior to COVID, CCU was part of a rotation model in which we hosted houseless families on our campus about four times a year for 1 week stays, providing a safe place to stay, to sleep, and share meals for 3 to 5 families. During the pandemic, Family Promise received federal funds to expand its services and allowed families to stay in studio apartments in Honolulu. While the rotational housing model is on hold, our church and others transitioned to periodically providing meals for up to 40 families. Let's watch this video.
Aloha from Family Promise of Hawaii.
During this time, we know a lot of families are struggling.
We are here to provide a critical safety net for homeless and low-income families.
By providing financial assistance and case management to keep families housed.
Offering showers, laundry, masks, diapers, and hygiene products.
Sheltering families experiencing homelessness in places like hotels, campsites, and underutilized facilities.
Keeping families fed through the generous support of community volunteers.
Helping families transition from homelessness to permanent housing.
We know many families in our community continue to need shelter, food, and emergency care. Together, we can provide life-saving support during this health crisis, because housing is health care.
We invite you to learn more about Family Promise, and if you are able, lend a hand through financial and or in-kind donations. Please check out the online wish list at www.familypromisehawaii.org/wishlist or contact our own Beth Davidan, bzdavidan@yahoo.com, if you'd like to provide holiday gifts for some Family Promise kids. The deadline is Sunday, December 19th, right, Beth? Now please listen, and if you're so inclined, sing along very quietly as Kalua plays the doxology. Seated. Now we come to a time of sharing announcements about the life of the community. The Christmas Joy special offering is being collected. There are special envelopes, or write Christmas Joy in the memo line, or select that in the drop-down menu online. We invite you to join us for Vespers on the Lanai this Friday, December 10th, from 7 to 8 p.m. It will be live streamed on our Facebook page with musicians The Hot Club of Hulaville Trio, featuring Dwayne Padilla on the violin, Sonny Silva guitar, and special guest Jeff Linsky on the ukulele. These three seasoned jazz greats will swing us into the holidays. So that's Friday the 10th. Saturday the 11th, there will be a food and toy drive in the CCU parking lot from 9 a.m. until noon. Please bring gifts of non-perishable food, new unopened toys, or monetary donations. Then the day after that, on December 12th, CCU will be hosting a blood drive from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. For more information or to make an appointment, email the office, call the blood bank, or use the link in the emails you receive. We need 14 more donors to fill all the appointment slots. So if you can, please consider making this very special gift for our community. Important official announcement. There will be a congregational meeting on December 19th at 11:15 a.m. to elect our council and deacons and approve a budget. We invite you to continue to email prayer requests to prayers at ccukailua.org to be gathered into the Monday prayer email. And that's all I'm aware of, except Beth has a very important announcement to make.
Can we first give Diane a hand for doing like a million things? Thank you very much, Diane. Appreciate that. Okay, like a lot of you, I wear a lot of different hats, but I am putting on my chair of the interim search, pastor search committee hat with an update. I'm really excited to say that the council has contracted with Reverend Brittany Alexander to be our interim pastor. Woohoo! So some of you may recall, Pastor Brittany recently guest preached here at our church. She has served as a chaplain with St. Francis Hospital. She is an alumna of Berkeley School of Theology, part of the Graduate Theological Union, a consortium of seminaries in Berkeley, California. She is duly ordained through the Disciples of Christ, withstanding in the UCC and through the Baptist denomination. She has served churches in Arizona, where she grew up, as well as in California. Brittany has called Oahu home for 4 years, and we're just delighted that she will be joining us as our interim pastor, effective tomorrow. So she will be in full force here. I will be helping a little bit with co-leading next week, but we will have a litany of welcome, and we're very excited to have her leadership amongst us moving forward. So a lot of thanks needs to be given to the committee. Thank you, Paul Ballinger, Angela Goff, Charlene Hosenfeld, also to our parent denomination pastors, regional pastors, Reverend Linda Culbertson, Reverend Richie Sanchez. Also special thanks to Reverend Ron Pfeiffer from Mililani Presbytery, who has served as our moderator since Liz left us in September. So a lot of behind the scenes support. And also to our CCU staff, who has really picked up a lot of pieces through all of this. Dana, Louise, Kahlua, Melody. So thank you all for your patience as we went through this process. This is a contract with the council, and so she will assume our moderator role on the 19th. So everyone, as we're Zooming and doing live, and she is a disciples pastor moving into a presbytery model, let's all take deep breaths and be gracious as we transition to this exciting time. Thank you so much.
So each week of this series, we will be closing out with a Christmas carol. Today's closing carol is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, a carol written by Edmund Sears and one of the earliest social gospel hymns written. Sears was writing from Boston in the years just before the Civil War began, and this hymn emphasizes the message of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to all.
Thank you.
It has been such a blessing being with you this morning, and it is also my great honor, as I've said, to send you out. May God's door of welcome swing open in your heart and in your life. May Christ's humble first dwelling remind you of the plenty you already know. And may the Spirit lead you into more possibility and hospitality than you can imagine, making room in the inn for all. May it be so for you, may it be so for us, and may it be so for this church. Amen.